I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice at 97.3.
Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Another stunning day outside the window here. Looks like we're getting Scott Budman ready to jump in, so let's get to the news.
The Radio Alice Report.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by All Natural Stone. All Natural Stone can transform your home into a work of art with their exclusive collection of tile, natural stone, and porcelain. Visit allnaturalstone.com. They're great. You're going to love them. Now, when I was asked what's coming up in the news, my mistake was I didn't mention our good friend, longtime, loyal to the show, one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. He supported our show, and we support him. It's Scott Budman, ladies and gentlemen. It's good to have you, buddy. Nice to see you.
Hey. How are you? Good to see you guys, too. Hello. I'm good.
Hello.
Good.
Thanks.
Good. Now, listen, earlier on the show, before we get to the many important topics you plan to inform us on, the question on the show came up, because you are quarantined in the house now going on a year with your family, have you decided to cross the line and go number two in the same room with them around?
No.
We hold that line as well at my house, and I think Sarah agrees. Right, Sarah?
Absolutely. Not ideal, but number two, never.
Right. No. No way.
To know that Scott is... Fully a full-fledged member of the Sarah and Vinny family.
Thank you, Scott.
We don't do that.
I expected
if that's what it takes to be. Yeah.
Well, I honestly expected as a newsman that you might just say no comment. This is beneath me. Mm. Absolutely, let's move on. I appreciate you answering. Now, one of the things you wanted to talk about, which I saved just for you because I thought, oh, this is great. Here's my part. Your Best Buys are always. At Fry's.
Your Best Buys are always at Fry's. Guaranteed.
Oh, guaranteed. Oh, we forgot that part, Benny. Mm.
Now, I don't know if you grew up with that. I don't know if that's a place where you bought your first headphones or other gear, but I've definitely shopped at Fry's a million times, and they're going away, huh?
Yeah, they are, and yes, I did. I'm a native of this area and the Bay Area, and yeah, I remember shopping at Fry's. I remember being clueless at Fry's because they have all this stuff. And I remember those long lines where you'd have drinks and snacks and everything. I mean, it was an experience just going there, and I'll miss it.
It's so sad when something that's well long established and everybody knows the tagline just poof goes away.
And as fun as it was to go and as great as it was to meet people who were also geeky there and to hang out. I mean, people would go literally just to hang out and meet people and recruit for their tech companies because everybody was a geek there, but they didn't adjust fast enough to the fact that we were buying everything online. And so it became just like their front edifice, which is like a Mayan temple. It became something from the past several years ago, and it was already downhill. And they made the news, the official announcement yesterday, they're shutting down all their stores, and it's that quick. And it was interesting. We were hanging out by one yesterday in San Jose, and people kept showing up all day long and just wanting to talk to people about it. Like, oh, I really miss this place and remember all the snacks and all the magazines and all the, little motherboards you'd buy. And it was that kind of a place.
You touched on something that I was completely unaware of, and yet it makes sense. In the article I was reading, they said a lot of the tech companies bought all the stuff that they started their companies with through Fry's. So many of these, you know, behemoths that we now consider to be too big, I mean, too big for their own good, really,
right,
started with equipment they purchased from Fry's.
Yeah, not only did people tell us they bought all their stuff, like you say, at Fry's, but they said that was sort of the inspiration for them to even start a company, saying, oh, I can get that myself. Because a lot of the stuff, remember, you know, you had TVs and you had headphones and you had stuff that we all knew about. But if you were really geeky and you needed some really specific stuff, you could get it at Fry's. They had everything there if you looked long enough. And so people would say, hey, I can do whatever I'm trying to work for. I can do it myself. We met a guy yesterday who literally started his own software company because he bought a bunch of stuff at Fry's, put it all together, went back, recruited some people, and bam, he's had a company for the last 15 years because of Fry's. It's an amazing story, and that's just how that stuff works.
Well, what are people going to do now? Well, where are the geeks going to go?
To the internet,
I don't know. I mean, the
right?
geeks have been... Yeah, and that's the short answer. I mean, there's still a culture that likes to go to a Best Buy or go to an Apple store. But you're right. The majority of people that need stuff like that now get it online, whether it's used or whether it's new. There are trading houses for all that stuff. And it's just too bad because Fry's was an experience that brought us together. And it was, by definition, social.
Yeah, and the decor is inexplicable. But I don't get it. I never knew how I went from the, as you said, a Egyptian temple or Mayan temple or whatever it was to the Wild West to just weird, but unique and charming in its own way. Anyway, so Fry's is going away. That's not there's no like last minute rally. Is there a GoFundMe page set up? Is there a way to save Fry's?
No, that would be the modern way, though, wouldn't it? But no, the Fry's owners, by the way, were always very, very tight-lipped. They didn't do much press. They didn't get out there all that much. They had fundraisers. They had a very popular, well-funded golf tournament every year. But they kept things close to the vest. And so you didn't really know much about who was running Fry's or the culture of it. And it was an unusual culture. You'd have, you know, Chichen Itza one day and the Wild West another, like you said, but you never really knew much about the people behind it. They just put out a note on the internet saying, hey, we're closed, we're done. Thanks for hanging in there all these years. And it was almost 40 years for Fry's, but they said, we're hanging it up. And now the only question is really just how much that land goes for, because some of it is prime Silicon Valley real estate, and even Southern California as well. So it'll be interesting to see what happens to those places. But eventually, you won't be able to drive by those funky edifices anymore.
Well, there's one right off 17 here in the South Bay that I see all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. So, yeah, it's going to... But you're right. You know what? If they own that land, they're going to cash in nicely when they sell those spots.
I think so, yeah.
Moving on to the next thing. It's here in front of me that you had something to share with us about Bitcoin. Now, Bitcoin continues to be this thing that lives... I'm familiar with it. I've read about it. I understand to some extent how it started and that it's in use today. But I still won't buy it. I don't have it. I'm never going to probably own any Bitcoin. But what is it that you know about Bitcoin that you wanted to share with us today?
Oh, I heard you guys talking yesterday about how it was this big mystery, and it's not. It's really becoming something that's kind of part of the pop culture.
Explain
not that
it
I would
to
recommend.
Us. Please
all right,
tell
all right.
Me.
Think of it as a coin, but not something you hold in your pocket. It's all on the internet. You're speaking of the opposite of Fry's, right? This is all done on the internet. It is a line. Basically, each coin is a computer file. It's got its own number. You would have a password if you own it. And it's just like a coin, but it's virtual. They call it virtual currency because it doesn't exist in the physical world, but it exists online. Its value comes from the fact that there is a finite number of it. I believe 21 million is the number that they're going to stop at. So it becomes a little bit like a collector's item. And the value is because people can not only spend it, as they have been able to for years, but in the last few years, they've been able to essentially invest in it, and that has boosted the price from a couple of dollars to $50,000 for a single coin. Is it worth that? Not in any sense of the real world, no. It's become a very speculative investment. And therefore, within the last couple of days, we've seen 45,000, 55,000, and then 45,000. Imagine if the dollar fluctuated that much. It would be almost impossible to actually buy anything. So right. There are companies out there that say, hey, we'll accept Bitcoin. And there are exchanges that let you buy and sell even a fraction of a Bitcoin, which is why it's attractive to some young people. They don't have to shell out $50,000 for a coin. They can buy a little bit of it and watch it grow or shrink. But its currency value, you know, like the dollar or a quarter, its value as a currency has really changed because it fluctuates so much. It's no longer like, I'm going to go spend this on pizza, or I'm even going to go buy a car with this, because it changes so much that within a day, you've either gotten a really good deal for that car, or, oh my God, I overpaid for that car.
Right. Well, one of the things that we enjoyed as a show was the guy who put the story out there that he has millions of dollars in Bitcoin and only two more guesses for the key in order to be able to unlock all this money. And we were just marveling at this. How do you... And our texters who, you know, the Bay Area, it's the Silicon Valley, people know this stuff a lot more than most. And they were writing in saying it was probably worth nothing when this guy had it, you know, however many years ago. It's worth so much now. And so it sounds frightening. But I bet when he had, and so that made sense that, you know, maybe he's been sitting on this Bitcoin for 15 years or 10 years or whatever it is. And it was worth nothing, like truly garbage when he got it. And now it's worth these millions and he can't get it. But I guess
I was reading about that too. Yeah. I mean, that's crazy. Imagine if you, maybe a grandfather left you literally a fortune in a bank. And the bad news was, even though it's a bank, you couldn't get that fortune. We've never, you know, that wouldn't exist. You'd be able to go to the bank and say, hey, my grandfather left me this, or, you know, this investment that I made has gone up in value over the last 12 years.
And someone has the key.
Right.
Right.
You got it.
So that was an incredible story. And I wish that person well and better memory. But yeah, I mean, you have to obviously pay attention to this stuff because you have to log in with the key as opposed to looking into your wallet or going into your bank and saying, hey, I want to get some money out because I'm going to buy a house or a car or, right, you know, go on vacation, that kind of thing.
Right.
So it came up this week because of this guy from the NFL who was asked to be paid half his money in Bitcoin. And he started this about, I don't know, 2 years ago. And they began doing this. And actually, it looks like now the NFL is moving toward making this something that they offer. Because right now, I think he's getting his paycheck and then half of it's getting converted right away. It's gone up 273% since he started asking for his money that way. And I love that you sort of turned a dial for me with the each coin is a file with its own number and its own key to unlock it. But so what we're really talking about here is 21 million files that are worth nothing and also worth kajillions of dollars. And if people are just investing in them and holding them and not spending them, how is that considered a currency? Like, it's really hard to wrap your, because you're saying if I want to buy a pizza, well, the pizza costs $20 in the real world, so I pay you what today's equivalent of $20 is in a Bitcoin. Tomorrow, I might have just paid you $350 for that pizza.
Right.
Or, you know, if it continues to go up, it's mind-boggling. Is it currency or is it an investment? Is it actually worth anything or is this just something that the bottom's going to fall
off? I feel like Scott just made her more confused.
I'm more confused than ever.
No, you know what? Everything you said was absolutely right, Sarah. And if there's confusion of this, it's confusion that everybody has because it should be a currency. I mean, it was made and originally 12 years ago used. The history is that a lot of it was used to buy contraband, to buy drugs on the internet. You may have heard of the Silk Road.
Right. Exactly.
So people using the Silk Road to buy drugs would use Bitcoin because it was untraceable. And so it worked. But back then it was worth a few bucks for a coin. So it made sense to do this because you weren't in this crazy, oh, it's worth this today and this tomorrow world. And you were able to buy things and the government didn't track it. And everybody did their business until the Silk Road guy got caught and is now in jail. But is it a currency? To me, no. Not really, because although that NFL guy is really smart and good for him, again, let's say you're buying an expensive car for $100,000 and you bought it with a couple Bitcoin. Tomorrow, you may have paid $80,000. Hey, good news for one Great. Side of the equation, but really bad news for the other. And if it was worth, you know, $60,000. So it's not a currency until it's stable. The reason the dollar is what we spend and buy things with is because we trust it to be stable from one day to the next. Bitcoin isn't there yet because it's such a speculative investment, which you said it's an investment. Once it becomes more of a, here's what it's worth, here's what you can buy, and here's what you can trust. For instance, if it becomes backed by the government, like the dollar, then it will mean more when we buy things. At this point, that NFL young man made a fantastic, risky investment.
Right. And, but one of the things that has legitimized this is Elon Musk getting involved,
yes.
Other companies willing to accept this as payment. That's another form of like, okay, it's legit. If Bananas yeah. at Large will sell you a guitar for some Bitcoin, that's legit, right? So
right.
I can see it. I like things that are right in front of me. I realize that my money actually only exists online in number form. I don't,
Math.
There's no, it's just, there it is. It's on mm-hmm. my website. I never actually see it. And I just move these numbers around, pay this company this amount. And mm-hmm. it's so it's weird. And yet I would never play games with Bitcoin. It's too sketchy for me.
And that would be my advice. I mean, look, Sarah, like you, I have a kid in college. And the 529 plan to save money was a really smart thing all those years ago. Had we put Bitcoin in, we'd be able to buy the college. But on the other hand, what if... You know, what if we did when it was 55 and then it went to 48? You know, you just yes. be crazy. You can't invest for this thinking anything other than I have to check this every single day and every single minute to make sure my college fund or my retirement fund or my car fund or my
can't
rent
live
payment
like that.
Is. Yeah, that would be a little nuts. But it's interesting to watch because, like you said, Vinny, it's getting more accepted. It's getting more legitimacy because of mm-hmm. these ways to trade mm-hmm. it, because of these companies. And that makes it fascinating. But trust me, if the economy turns south and we're no longer buying GameStop stock for hundreds of dollars a share mm-hmm. because everybody's worried about their jobs, I think Bitcoin is going to be once again a tool for just the wealthy. The rest of us are going to be like, whoa, a speculative investment? I got to pay my rent.
Right.
And once that happens, and we've been in many, many of those cycles, a lot of this craziness, I think, will calm down. And when that happens, we might see how this works as a real currency.
Scott Budman, I would like to say that I love you.
Oh, I love you guys too.
I have a slightly better grasp on Bitcoin today.
Oh, good. Yeah.
It's always wonderful to have you on. We really appreciate your time. I hope you have a great day. And I do appreciate you answering that first question as well. It would have
yep.
been very easy for a newsman to say, no, I'm not talking about poop. Get out of here.
Yes.
But
oh,
thank
that
you.
Question. I thought you were talking about the fries thing. Yeah.
No.
You are
no.
the best, Scott. There's no
right.
question.
Absolutely. Thank you, Scott
Thanks,
Budman.
Scott
from
Budman.
NBC Bay Area.
Thanks,
ladies and gentlemen, Scott Budman.
Woo! God, he's fun.
Always great to have him.
He's such a geek, too. Like, I love that he was talking about fries, how he would hang out there and eat the snacks and geek out with all the... I'm like, I never did that. If I
no.
had to go to Fries, I went there for one specific thing. I walked in, I got it. I didn't notice the decor, and I left.
Yeah, the day, well, and they were all different. So someone's even writing in that the fries in Fremont didn't have a wild, crazy design. It was pretty modern. The one I used to go to in Palo Alto had a Wild West theme.
Oh, boy.
So, and it just, they didn't make any sense. It just was, it felt random, really. But
right.
whatever.
We're just having fun with it, I guess.
Yeah, well, and that's it. It was kind of a fun thing, and it's a bummer that they're going away. You
yeah.
hate to see that. I just do. And are they Sears? No, but I hate that Sears is going away, and I hate that Fry's is going away.
Right. It's hard when any big brick-and-mortar chain folds up shop, because that's a ton of jobs, and it just represents another shift in how we get things.
Right. Well, and these are just also, you know, when you bring up Frasier on TV, you go, oh, I love Frasier.
Right.
You bring up Sears, oh, I love the Wish Book for Christmas. The kids are like, Frasier who?
Yeah. Wish Book what?
Yeah. So it doesn't, you know, the young people are like, I don't really
yeah.
care.
Well,
I like the internet. Yeah, look at Nicole.
The whole
confirms
new world.
Everything I'm saying. Absolutely, yes. All right. What's coming up in the trash, Sarah?
Oh, you want to know what's coming up? Huh?
Work it, make it, do it. Makes us harder, better, faster, stronger.
It's Sarah and Vinny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.